The phone lines are open, 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. The Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 3-1. They split the series. They're 7-9. They stand now 4 games out of first place in the American League East, though it continues to be far too early to be looking at the standings. But again, second time in a week, what price victory? R.A. Dickey has to leave the game after 6 innings. He walks into the Blue Jays clubhouse, kind of giving himself a massage on the back of his neck and right shoulder, left with tightness. He didn't want to push it. And I'm not sure if the Blue Jays gave him the option or not, but he didn't want to push it. That was apparent. And the smart move, as the bullpen takes over, does a great job. Behind him, the Blue Jays get the win, and hopefully R.A. will be able to make his next start, which is scheduled for Tuesday night in Baltimore. We don't know that yet. We will, if we find anything out over the course of the Blue Jays talk, of course, we will pass it along to you as soon as we can. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. We will Blue Jays talk it up right up to the top of the hour, and then our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, will head over to Leafs Nation postgame. We start things off with Brian in Burlington. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk, the leadoff man.
Thank you very much. I guess since I'm the first one, how's it doing tonight, Mike?
You know what? I got to tell you, the back is barking a little bit, just like it seems to be for everybody else in this building. But other than that, everything's all right.
Every day of my life. A good win tonight. Glad to see last night and especially the night before, we're losing at the end of the game. It was a little rough, but good to see Dickey go and had that kind of dominating stuff that kind of brought him in there for. The one thing that was kind of, I know Jerry and Dick were saying that had the player of the game was Rajay Davis. I think he's great as a fourth outfielder. I know now with Bautista and everything else being hurt, he's kind of been thrust into the starting lineup. There's some things about him that just, the way he plays the outfield, I think the run that the White Sox scored in the eighth inning just seemed like one of those misplays where...
Really? Because he was like in the air at the wall. That's a very, very difficult play. And I saw that on Twitter from somebody, too, that they thought Rajay butchered that. And, you know, when you have to leave your feet to try to make a catch, if you make that catch, that's kind of awesome. I think it was pretty obvious that he did. And he's a really fast guy, too.
I think his speed kind of makes up for a lot of what he does.
But that's okay. I mean, that's part of his total package. You know, I mean, Rajay Davis, they have the same initials, so there you go.
Fair enough.
Rajay Davis, I agree with you, is a very good fourth outfielder. But, you know, your fourth outfielder is going to have to play sometimes, and he's a pretty good one to have. He hits lefties very, very well. There's no problem at all with leading him off against left-handed pitchers. He's more than adequate defensively. He's not going to win any gold gloves. But, I mean, that's why he's a fourth outfielder.
I think I'd take him as adequate as a defender.
All right, well, I think you're giving him short shrift. I don't know how Davis got this reputation among a lot of Blue Jays fans that he's a poor defensive outfielder. He's not a poor defensive outfielder by any means. I mean, he doesn't have a great throwing arm, but he doesn't have a bad throwing arm, and he's got a ton of speed, which allows him to cover a lot of ground, whether he gets the best read on every ball or not. But, again, I mean, like you said, he's the fourth outfielder, so I don't really know why you're picking him apart. He's the fourth outfielder, and as fourth outfielders go, he's a really, really good one. Mike is in Richmond Hill. Mike, you're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. Just one question and one comment I have.
Sure.
My comment is about R.A. Dickey. I don't think he's a disappointment. I think he's actually a really, really good pitcher, and I think he's going to do really well with us this year.
I think you are wise to believe that.
Yeah, and my second question for you is, because I'm not too sure, but how does a pitcher get hurt this quick, like have a neck injury?
What do you mean? What does quick have to do with it?
Well, sorry, not quick, but like just like a neck injury out of nowhere, and like he's not able to pitch for the rest of the game. Like, I kind of find these baseball athletes being like a little bit like, I don't know, like a little bit soft, maybe. Like, what's your opinion on it? I'm not too sure.
I think it's bordering on insanity, honestly. And you're far from the only one, and that's probably why my opinion about that is so strong, because of all the stuff that I've heard about Jose Bautista and seen on Twitter and talked about on this program from callers the last couple of days. The idea that, you know, let's say R.A. Dickey felt like his neck was starting to tighten up. And I don't know if you have a bad back or a bad neck. I've got both. And I know a lot of other people with both. First of all, Jose Bautista, let's start with him. Because he's saying that he's at a point right now, or that he was the last couple of days, where he can't even tie his shoes. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you could possibly expect a guy to play baseball when he's in that condition. This is not a matter of suck it up and get out there. If your back is in such a state where you're not able to bend over to tie your shoes, how effective could you possibly be on a baseball field?
Okay, thank you very much.
And yeah, no problem. I appreciate the call. And with Dickey, when the back of your shoulder starts to tighten up, your neck, it makes it very difficult to even turn your head. You want a guy to be pitching in a major league game? Again, you know, I understand the hockey mentality. I know that Bobby Bonn scored a Stanley Cup winning goal with a broken ankle. I get all that. But you tape that stuff up and you shoot a guy up with enough drugs and you put it in a skate, you kind of tough it out and play through the pain. When you're playing baseball with a bad back and you have to take a swing, you have to throw the ball, I mean, I'm sure they could do it physically, but they'd be terrible. And I don't understand why anybody would want Jose Bautista hobbling around on the field with a bad back. Or R.A. Dickey serving up meatballs because he can't turn his head. He can barely get the ball to the plate. I mean, it is beyond my level of understanding. And again, don't mean to come down on Mike. It's just a lot of stuff that I've been seeing and hearing over the last few days that is beyond me. Jamie is in Etobicoke listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Jamie, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you very much. I just had a small question I wanted to ask you. I don't want to bring up the only bad point in a game that was probably well played by the Jays, but I was just wondering why you would think John Gibbons would bring in a left-handed pitcher to pitch against a right-handed batter, Flowers, in the eighth inning, and it cost us a run there.
He brought him in. It cost a run. He brought him in, first of all, to face Connor Gillespie, who's a left-handed hitter. But the question, I guess the question was, and you knew they were going to pinch at Tyler Green first before Flowers, and got Green out. So the question there is, do you want Esmil Rogers against the lefty Gillespie, who's hitting about 350, or do you want to get Gillespie out of the game and go loop against Tyler Green, who hits lefties well? But that's your choice, and I think that's the choice that John Gibbons made. Now, ordinarily, that's the Sergio Santos spot.
Right.
But Sergio Santos is on the DL, and I think Steve Delabar is your next choice there. But I really think that John Gibbons trusts Aaron Loop, and the truth of the matter is that I'm with you. I don't love having a lefty in against Tyler Flowers, because Tyler Flowers is a right-handed power bat who hits left-handers well. But in that situation, two out in the eighth inning, up by three with one runner on, even if Flowers hits the ball out of the park, you've still got the lead.
Right.
And a left-handed batter due up next. So I'm okay with that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
What about maybe using Casey Jansen for four outs instead of three? Would that be a terrible thing to do?
It wouldn't be a terrible thing to do. And maybe if the tying run was at the plate, then you might want to think about that. They are still being really careful with Jansen. I mean, we can't forget that he's coming off of shoulder surgery. in the offseason, and they don't want to blow him out. But, again, I really do think it comes down to the fact that if Tyler Flowers hits a home run, you're still leading.
Right.
So there you go.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
All right. I appreciate the call. And, again, that's Sergio Santos' spot. But, again, there has been no reason so far this year not to have faith in Aaron Loop's ability to get anybody out, lefty or righty. Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 3-1. They split the series. They are 7-9 on the season, slowly working their way back to 500. And the New York Yankees are coming to town for a three-game series that starts tomorrow night. The Yankees currently trailing the Arizona Diamondbacks 2-1 in the top of the ninth. So they may come to town, the Yankees, 8-6. Just two games up on the Blue Jays. The Jays, a hobbled squad without the two Jose's, Bautista and Reyes. Matt is in Bakersfield, California. Second straight night for Matt, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
Thanks for calling.
And thanks for your show. It makes me feel closer to home. I miss home all the time out here in California.
Well, but anything we can do.
I want to get straight to the point. I got 2 points. One is with Bautista being in and out of the injury with his back, and it being still April, shouldn't maybe we send him down to the DL and maybe call up Gosar Sierra and get them the at-bats early in the season? And the second point I wanted to make was, I was going to ask why one hates Rios, but the guy who answers the phone reminded me, and he said that he skimped a kid on an autograph, and I just wanted to throw a comment out there that if Johnny Damon's listening, he skimped me an autograph when I was 12 years old in Oakland against the Royals, and he was rude. I was a kid, and he walked right by me, didn't give me an autograph. So if he's listening out there, you know, send me an autograph, you know, please. But, but Bautista, maybe he should go to the DL, you know, be safe with him, and let's try out a young guy.
First of all, I guarantee you that Johnny Damon is absolutely listening to this program, first of all. So that autograph is forthcoming. And the Rios thing, it was a setup, and it was just terrible. And these professional autograph hounds that had already been denied by him sent a kid up to make Rios look bad, and that was just terrible. I'm a big fan of Alex Rios as a human being.
Yeah, I like him too. That's why I called. That's why I was going to say. And we placed him on waivers, you know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, he wasn't living up to the contract by any means at that point, and it did give some guy named Bautista a chance to play right field every day. As far as Jose Bautista to the DL goes, what if he's okay in 3 days? Then you've lost him for an extra week, and I don't know if that's too great a move.
Yeah, that's the risk I was thinking about, too. I don't know. You know, I was on the fence about it, but it seems like, you know, he's been in and out. And, just to be safe with him so he gets back healthy and he'll be ready, maybe have some minor league at-bats and be really ready to go. I know it sounds stupid with him already starting out the year with 3 homers, but, you know, I think maybe better safe than sorry and maybe see what Gosar Sierra can do, you know, if things aren't going great. You know, it was a great win tonight, but, you know, let's hope that Bautista gets back in.
Well, yeah, but I agree with you. Let's hope that Bautista gets back in, but he can't get back in if he's on the DL, because once you put him on the disabled list, he's got to sit for 15 days, and the last game he played was Sunday. So,
no, I know. I was just thinking maybe.
I think it's too much, too careful.
Well, I was thinking because of his injury. Of all the injuries we've been having, I thought maybe safe than sorry, you know?
Yeah, but I'm willing to try to skate by with Davis and Bonifacio sharing an outfield spot in the hopes that Jose won't need 2 weeks. But I think, you know, a couple of days down the line, if it gets to the point where it's not coming around, then I do think they'll make that kind of move. But John Gibbons said before the game today he feels like Bautista's moving in the right direction, and he thinks that he shouldn't have to go on the disabled list. But thank you for the call, Matt. Appreciate it. Appreciate you listening all the way out west out there. We do have John Gibbons for you, but we'll take one more call, and then we'll play what the manager has to say. Let's go to Don in Toronto, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Don.
Yes, Mike. A couple of questions. Two comments, actually, not questions. In the event that position players are not back, I just hope that the Blue Jays would take a page from that shortstop, Kurosaki, as he plays very great baseball. He's not a guy that's going to swing to the fences, but he works the count, and he's a bit of a thorn in the side of the pitchers.
He is. He's a real grinder. But, you know, he doesn't swing for the fences because he can't.
Well, I understand that, but you know what? He gets the job done.
Yes.
If they would look into those into his play, he brings some kind of a presence to the team. And so even the other night when they had the runs where Chicago scored in the 8 innings, which I blame the manager for, his poor decision.
Yeah, it was terrible of John Gibbons to walk the first two hitters of that inning.
Yes,
yeah, just awful.
And should have left the center fielder there because he had a couple hits that night. Regardless of the left-hander, they're in
right.
the middle in the major leagues, and they're going to have to play and face the dance. At
Absolutely,
some point.
Just like
you
the left-hander he faced the next night
That's
and
right.
struck out four times.
Exactly, they have to face the dance.
Yeah, no,
you know. They
but anyway, we've been over that. So let's
right,
not go back over that.
Right, but I'm just saying, yeah, I hope that they'll just pay some attention, given the Yankees are coming in and they have a tough lefty on the mound tomorrow night.
Yep.
I think they would want to pay attention and work the count, and I think at the end of the day, we would have they'll be in a good position. I hope, you know. I'm not so worried about it, to be honest with you. As they gel together, I think we'll have a decent ball club in Toronto.
This club should be a lot better than decent, but I appreciate the call, and I caution you and everybody. I mean, Munenori Kawasaki's just been such a pleasure to watch. But I caution everybody, it's six games. It's been six games. And as well as he's been hitting, you know, he was 0 for 3 tonight. His batting average went down almost 100 points. He is doing all the little things right, which is fantastic. And I do expect him to continue to do all the little things right. But long term, I don't expect him to be a guy who's going to be a threat offensively. But he is still going to see a lot of pitches. He's going to grind out at bats. Hopefully he's not going to strike out much. He hasn't struck out at all yet. And he's very, very easy to fall in love with. But it's been six games. And at the plate, anyway, he's been playing way over his head. Let's tune in on the skipper, John Gibbons. We'll listen to a little bit of what he had to say in the wake of tonight's 3-1 win over the Chicago White Sox. More of your calls on the other side. But here's Gibby.
Good ball game. Good ball game. You know, I think it was... It's early in the season, but it's a game we really needed against one of the top pitchers in baseball. So we had some good performance. Dickey was outstanding. Raji had a couple hits against the lefty, got him base, stole a couple bases. That's what you expect out of him leading off an inning. It was a great night.
Gibby, can you tell us what happened with Dickey with the neck back when that started for him and what's his status at the moment?
Well, I tell you, it was a gutsy performance because it's been bothering him for a couple of days. You know, really going in tonight, we didn't know where you were going to get. You know, I mean, it was kind of just spasms in his upper back, right around the shoulder area there, and he gutted it out. I mean, he was. I guess that answers your question too about the dome, roof open or closed too. You know, he was pretty darn good, really pretty good tonight. It was almost like, you know what? I mean, the ball was. I mean, he had some big drop to that thing, and it didn't look quite as hard, and it was almost seemed like, you know, I mean, he was getting more life on that thing. So, and then, you know, then it really started tightening up on him. You know, we went out there, he looked like he winced on that one pitch, and then we went out there, and, you know, he got out of the inning that was didn't want to push it. But a gutsy effort. His muscle spasms, yeah. I mean, that, you know, those things, you know, they happen every now and then, you know. I mean, these guys do a lot of work. They do a lot of, you know, a lot of different things, and sometimes just one wrong movement can flare something up, you know. It's just like what Jose's going through. You know, his back flared up on him. Same thing, muscle spasms. But tremendous outing. No, we don't think so. I mean, he's got to calm it down. No question about that. But he's a tough guy. You know, he'll. I'm sure we'll see him in 5 days.
Got on base with the error tonight. Otherwise, 0-for-2. But Kawasaki.
Who said that again?
Kawasaki just giving you all kinds of energy and just looks like he's bringing so much life to the team right now.
Yeah, I tell you, you know, I think I've said this, you know, over and over. I mean, he's a pleasant surprise. He's, you know, we knew he's a good, solid player, but he's really given us a big boost. His enthusiasm, and he's a good player. But you watch, he gives you a good at bat every time. He puts the ball in play when you need it. You know, he almost scored that other run with that chopper over the mound, you know, great play by Ramirez. But then, he, you know, infield, he put the ball in play. you know, forced Dunn to make a play, and he booted it, but, you know, it drove in a run there. Yeah, he turned a nice double play. He's probably doing more than we expected. And, you know, the fans love him. Everybody loves him. So it's, you know, he's a lot like the guy he replaced as far as the energy and the enthusiasm and the way people react to him. So it's been great.
And not to harp on this point, but Davis, that nine-pitch at bat, the double, seemed to do a lot of the stuff you've been talking about in terms of scrapping. And Bonifacio had a couple of those at bats too. I'd imagine that's a pretty big difference in your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you got to do. You know, if you're facing a guy that's, you know, got pinpoint control, you know, you really can't afford to fall behind a lot of those guys. You know, I mean, they get ahead, and I mean, every time you turn around, you're behind. If you got a guy that's got a little bit of power, you know, like Sale. You know, he pitches, you know, around the zone, but where he gets you, I mean, if you go chasing on him, I mean, he's really tough. He's tough as it is to begin with. So, you know, you want to try to get him in a count where he's got to bring it over the plate. You know, if you chase early on him, now he's ahead in the count. You know, he buries you. He's one of the good ones. You know, so if you work him, you got a better chance. Yeah, I mean, it all depends on who's on the mound and their style of pitching or maybe what they're doing that night, but. Usually get better results when you do that.
John, first thing. So there's John Gibbons, Blue Jays manager. R.A. Dickey apparently has had this issue for a while and decided to pitch through it to the extent that he could. And that's actually really good news. I would think he'd be able to make his next start in Baltimore on Tuesday night. Blue Jays beat the White Sox 3-1. We got time to sneak another caller or two in. Let's go back out west to Vancouver. Dave is listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Hello, Dave.
Mike, great to talk to you the first time this year. And I mean, this is the type of ball game that this team is going to have to win because with the injuries, the slumps, etc., we got to claw, scratch, steal, play small ball, and win a ball game. It was an exciting game tonight. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Dickey came through. Perhaps a bit of stiffness there, but I think Holfield will be okay, etc. And you're right, the Yankees coming up, they've got their guys hurt, some of their all-stars. We got some of our all-stars hurt, and it'll be an interesting series. Hope the crowds pick up, etc. And Kawasaki, yeah, I'm impressed with this guy. I think he should stick with the team as on the bench because he's versatile and has speed, etc. And, in the case regarding the outfield and so on, I think at this point, if Batista is on the disabled list for a couple weeks, yeah, you bring up Golson, give him a shot for a couple weeks, and if he doesn't hit too well, doesn't play that well, back to the minors. He understands that. And I'll tell you, at this point, you know, as people are pointing out, well, why is the case of Davis, why is the case of Bonifacio playing? Because Erasmus is striking all the time. But he certainly should be going in the 7th, 8th, or 9th inning as our best defensive outfielder. You know, that's the way I would do it. But, hey, we're 7-9. As people point out, it's a long season, and it got off to a slow start, etc. It's going to be a tough division. You know, I think this is a ball club that has the potential there. Can we live up to it? Can we do it? I mean, a lot of all-star teams have been put together. A lot haven't made it. But I'll tell you one thing. It's an exciting team to watch most nights. Would you not agree with that, Mike?
I would agree with that, Dave, and I appreciate the call. And you're right on a lot of things. And Colby Rasmus did come in as a defensive replacement tonight for the last few innings. He came in after the 7th to play defense and did a good job. He is their best defensive outfielder. As far as the Bautista thing, the whole point was I don't think he should have to go on the DL if he's not going to be – if they're not sure he's going to be out for 15 days, you wait on Jose as long as you can because you want him in as often as you can. And I'd rather have 4 games of Jose Bautista than 8 games of Anthony Gosar or Moises Sierra, really. So we'll see. We'll see if he winds up having to go on the DL. Thanks for the call. Appreciate them all. Sorry to those of you to whom we could not get, but we're out of time. We will check around the league, see what else is going on as we continue with the Honda Postgame Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays beat the Chicago White Sox 3-1 to split the series, improved to 7-9. R.A. Dickey goes 6 innings of 2-hit shutout, absolutely dominating, comes out with back and neck tightness, something that started on him last weekend in Kansas City. He pitched through it then, pitched through it again tonight up to the point where he could not pitch anymore, and doesn't know whether he'll be able to make his next start or not, but he'll have the same treatment program over the next 4 days as he had the last 4 days that enabled him to come out and pitch today. Other scores, other places, the Red Sox leading the Cleveland Indians 6-2 in the bottom of the eighth. The Yankees trailing the Arizona Diamondbacks 2-1. They are in the bottom of the ninth. J.J. Putz is on, and there is one away and nobody on for the New York Yankees. Earlier, Seattle beat Detroit 2-0. Carter Capps picked up his first Major League win. Carlos Villanueva got his first win as a Chicago Cub. Cubbies beat the Texas Rangers by a score of 6-2. The New York Yankees are in town tomorrow night. First of a three-game weekend series. It'll be Brandon Morrow on the mound. The Blue Jays will have to face a third-straight lefty in Andy Pettitte. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern for a 7:07 first pitch. Make sure you join us. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware, homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Yankees just tied it up on a Francisco Cervelli home run. For Jerry Howard, Dirk Hayhurst, Tom Young, Brett Armstrong, Joe Sicilia, I'm Mike Wilner. See you tomorrow.